Before I hand over to Mr. François Buchmann, I'll allow members of the committee to introduce themselves, and then Mr. Buchmann to introduce his delegation.
Thank you. My name is Matome Humphrey Mokgobe, member of the committee.
My name is Jack Becker. I'm a member of the committee from the Western Cape.
Good morning, Wati Watson, members of the committee from the DA, Mpumalanga.
Good morning, I'm Boni Flemis, member of the committee from Eastern Cape.
Good morning, my name is Peggy Ntuli from KZN, chair of the personal committee of the committee.
I also receive an apology from delegation from the Free State. Two members will be joining us late. On my right, I have the Community Secretary, Kashwin Dixon, and next to Mr. Buchmann is the Committee Researcher, Patricia Whitland. Over to you, Dr. Buchmann.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. Just to give you an introduction of my delegation, I've got Mr. Isaac Khamenyani, he's our Senior Provincial Head in the Free State. And then also Mr. Matthew Sisoko from Northwest Province. And then Ms. Pretorius from my office in Pretoria. Thank you very much, Chair.
You can continue the presentation.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We appreciate the opportunity to interact with your committee. I think we had last year the opportunity to interact in Kimberley with a provincial visit as well as in the Eastern Cape. And we want to appreciate the opportunity to speak on the IPED bill. Chairperson, because we are aware of time constraints, I'm going to be very to the point and go through the presentation and really focus on the core issues in the bill itself and then to take questions and concerns from the members. Maybe on page 3, Chairperson, the main objective of the IPED bill is to make provision for the establishment of the Independent Police Investigative Directorate to ensure independent oversight of the South African Police Service and the Municipal Police Services. So that is quite a change, I think, from the previous Chapter 10, also including the Municipal Police Services. Then the change in name. The name of the ICD will be changed to IPED. The rationale of the name change is to rebrand the Directorate to focus on investigations rather than being merely a recipient of complaints. And when we go to Clause 28, Honourable Members, you will see the reason for that. The IPED will then therefore be an investigative-driven organisation. The thrust of the work of the Directorate is to address systemic problems within the police service, and the refocusing of the Directorate ensures that the police service operates within the norms and standards of the Constitution and ensures an ethos that promotes proper police conduct. Now, the bill envisaged to make provision for the establishment of this new institution. It will regulate the functions of the Directorate. Then it provides for the establishment of a management committee, and I think that's very important. For the first time, provincial heads, and I think it's also important for the NCOP, your provincial heads will be represented on the senior management forum of the department, on the management committee. And then the consultative forum will be our liaison mechanism with the Secretariat of Police and the respective functions. Then provide for the appointment and powers of investigators. Then for the first time, and I think that's a strengthening of this act as well, provide for reporting obligations and cooperation by members of SAPS and Municipal Police Services to provide for transitional arrangements and then to provide for the repeal and amendments of certain laws. Then the objects of the bill is to give effect to the provision of Section 206 of the Constitution, then ensure independent oversight, we already referred to that, align provincial strategic objectives of the national office with that of the provinces with that of the national office, provide for independent and impartial investigation of identified criminal offences committed allegedly by SAPS and MPS, and then make disciplinary recommendations in respect of SAPS and Municipal Police Services, provide for close cooperation between the Directorate and the Secretariat, and then enhance accountability and transparency as envisaged in the Constitution. Chairperson, on the definitions, I'm not really going to go through that in detail. I just want to indicate, importantly, that we also bring in now the security clearance certificate for investigators, and I'll speak to that when we come to that. So the definitions, I think, is quite self-explanatory. Right. The IPED will be structured at national level with provincial offices. We function independently from SAPS, and then very importantly, each organ of state must assist the Directorate to maintain its independence and impartiality and perform its functions effectively. So that's to ensure that there's no interference from outside institutions or forces. National office. The national office is headed by the Executive Director. Then the appointment process is very much like the current Chapter 10 of the Police Act, where the minister will appoint a suitable qualified person, and then the parliamentary committee must then also play a role indicating whether they confirm or reject the nomination. The executive director can only serve for at the most 2 terms, so it's 1 term and it's renewable maybe for 1 additional term. Right, that's the appointment procedure. Then there's also provision if the executive director is not able to perform its functions that the minister can appoint or fill the vacancy, and then also it must be done within a reasonable time, a period not exceeding 1 year. And then there's also indication of on account of what the minister can remove the executive director, misconduct, ill health or inability to perform the functions. Then the responsibilities of the executive director, maybe just to indicate to members that in terms of the PFMA, it's the general provisions with regard to that. Can you maybe just go to the next slide? But very importantly, and that's I think the focus areas where the IPED is being given teeth. Criminal offences, the executive director must refer criminal offences revealed as a result of investigation to the NPA for criminal prosecution and notify the minister of such referral. So there is now an obligation. We must refer all those cases then to the NPA. And then very importantly, the NPA must notify the executive director of his intention to prosecute, whereafter the executive director must notify the minister thereof and provide a copy thereof to the secretary. So, I mean, there can't be long delays. The NPA should come back to the IPED with regard to those recommendations. Then disciplinary matters, the executive director must ensure that complaints regarding disciplinary matters are referred to the national commissioner and, where appropriate, the relevant provincial commissioner. In those cases, that's where your provincial heads will come in, and they will do most of those recommendations regarding members of SAPS who are in contravention of the SAPS disciplinary code. And then once a month, the executive director must submit to the minister a summary of the disciplinary matters. So we will also ensure that reporting is improved. All recommendations which are not of a criminal or disciplinary nature must be referred to the minister. Maybe just to indicate what are those recommendations. For instance, a MEC or the minister can refer a matter to us to investigate. Say, for instance, there is at a certain police station a loss of firearms to a large extent. And we can investigate that, make recommendations, and refer that to the minister. Then, very importantly, in terms of Section 206 of the Constitution, the Executive Director may, upon receipt of a complaint, cause to investigate any offence committed by a member of SAPS and MPS, and may, where appropriate, refer such investigation to the National or Provincial Commissioner concerned. So there can be cases, for instance, questions of disciplinary matters, misconduct and so on, which are reported at ICD, and we can refer it to the Provincial National Commissioner. Because the real motivation for this new bill is also to focus on serious crimes. So ICD, or the new IPED, will move away from issues that's not really serious crimes. We're not going to focus on issues really of administrative nature that is really within the paradigm of the police management. Then criminal matters which fall outside the scope of the directorate. Now, when we go to Clause 28, Honourable Chairperson, members will also see that we are going to investigate specific crimes. So there will be criminal matters outside that mandate, maybe that will be better handled by the Special Investigation Unit or by the Hawks, and that clause makes it possible for us to formally refer that. Then reporting is again to the Minister and Parliament, and at any time, so that's going to be quite onerous, so we must be able to come to you at any time. If you ask us to come, we must be in Cape Town. Right, then the composition of the National Office. It will consist of the Executive Director, the current Corporate Services Unit, then Investigations and Information Management Unit, and Legal Services Unit. And then the Portfolio Committee, they also included that any other unit established or that we envisage should be subject to the approval of the Minister and Parliament. Then, importantly, is the question of security screening, that members can only be appointed if they have undergone a security screening investigation. It's also provision for the Executive Director to issue that certificate, and then also at times to interact and consult with the National Intelligence Agency in terms of those members where there would be maybe a security risk, or if members act in a way that's prejudicial to the objectives of the directorate. Right, we can go on. Then the functions of the National Office, strategic leadership, develop and implement policy, oversee and monitor performance, gather, keep and analyze information, identify legislative needs, internal auditing, administrative support, then strengthening the cooperative relationship between the directorate and the IPET. And then, if, for instance, an MEC in a province refer a matter specifically to myself, I must be able then to report back to that MEC. Then submit the annual report to the Minister. Very importantly, implement information measures to develop public awareness of the provisions of this Act. We still believe that there's a lot of rural areas where we do not got the footprint at this stage, and we must, especially with the implementation of this Act, have effective public awareness programs. Then deal with any other matter referred to by the Minister and make recommendations to the SAPs. And then there's also a new reporting obligation on IPET. We must now report twice a year to Parliament on the number and type of cases investigated, the recommendations, the detail and outcome of those recommendations. So, Chairperson, that will be in addition to the current annual report. Then the matter of delegations indicates the Executive Director may delegate functions, what is the nature of that, and then there are powers, functions and duties listed in the bill which may not be delegated. Most of them have got to do with financial matters. Right, Management Committee, we referred to that previously. That consists now of the Executive Director and the provincial heads of each province. Right, and then the functions of the committee. It's really to ensure coordination and alignment with each province regarding the strat plan, performance plans, priorities, adherence to the PFMA, and then very importantly, interaction between the various provincial directorates to identify any matter of strategic importance within each province and to discuss performance, raise national management issues, and to ensure regular reporting on those performances of those provinces. Meetings of the committee must at least be 4 times a year. In practice, of course, it will be more, and it may determine its own procedures. So we think that's a major improvement of the legislative architecture dealing with police oversight, bringing the provinces really to the decision-making institution. Right, consultative forum, that is between us and the Secretary of Police, right? And that's really just to facilitate closer cooperation and discuss issues relating to trends, recommendations, and implementation of such recommendations. And that's just maybe the formula for the first meeting, and we can move on that. Then the provincial offices. I think a major improvement there is that the provincial head will now be on the level of chief director. In the past, it was on director level, And I think that's the appropriate level to ensure that we've got good interaction also with SAPS, right? Then there's mention of performance agreements in terms of the standard approach. Then the role of the provincial heads. And I think very importantly, provincial heads in the provinces to refer matters investigated by this provincial office under this act to the national relevant prosecuting authority. So the provincial heads will play a very important role there. And they must also facilitate cooperation between the province and the provincial secretariat and report on the executive director on recommendations and finalization of cases. Very importantly, again, to report to the relevant MEC on matters referred to the provincial head by that MEC. The other roles is really PFMA aligned. Right, appointment. Appointment of investigators. In terms of the qualifications, at least a grade 12 certificate or a relevant diploma or degree, and then that person must also have knowledge and relevant experience of criminal investigation or any other relevant experience. Then importantly, there is a certain procedures now for the appointment in terms of security screening, and there's also then the question of policing powers. An investigator is given policing powers by the minister within 3 months after his or appointment, and the executive director must also issue a certificate in the prescribed form to indicate that that person has got policing powers. Right, that says that the conditions of service, including the salary and allowances, must be on par with members appointed as detectives in terms of the SAPS. And then it's just regarding the functions of the investigator, right? And again, the investigator's functions is really in terms of the current CPA, Criminal Procedure Act. So that's investigation of offences, ascertainment of body features of an accused person, entry and search of premises, seizure and disposal of articles, arrest, the execution of arrest warrants, and the attendance of accused person in court. And then an investigator might direct any person to submit an affidavit, a firm declaration, appear before him or her to give evidence, and produce any evidence or document that's in a person's possession. And then an investigator or any person duly authorized there to may request also explanation from any person whom he or she reasonably suspects of having information which has a bearing on a matter being or to be investigated. Then importantly, conflict of interest. It's important that the independence of the new IPD is also secured. So if a current investigator has got a conflict of interest, that must be brought to the attention of the executive director, so that person cannot participate in that specific investigation. For example, if there's a family member involved or something like that. Then importantly, and that's similar to the measures that's now going to be used for the Hawks, the minister may prescribe measures of integrity testing of members of the directorate. So it's very important. Our investigators should be above board. There should be no compromising of any integrity lapses. So that's also there, right? Very importantly, types of matters to be investigated. In terms of our current mandate, we investigate any deaths in police custody, deaths as a result of police action, and now the new ones that's been added by the portfolio committee, any complaint relating to the discharge of official firearm by any police officer. So that's a matter we must investigate. So that means that we will have to, in terms of our staffing, ability to be available countrywide, that's a matter we will have to look at in detail. Rape by a police officer, whether the police officer is on or off duty. Rape of any person while that person is in police custody. So that also means if a civilian, for instance, is now involved there, we will also investigate that. Then any complaint of torture or assault against a police officer in the execution of his or her duties. And our anticipation, Honourable Chairperson, is that will mean that in terms of workload, there will be definitely a major increase in the workload of the new IPED, because if we add those issues. What was also added is the question of corruption matters within the police, initiated by the executive director on his own or after receipt of a complaint from a member of the public or referred by the directorate by the minister, an MEC or the secretary as the case may be. So can we just go back? Yeah. So all corruption matters. So that's also, I think, going to put us in a position we will have to do a lot of training in terms of investigators to ensure that they rise up to the new mandate. Then any other matters referred to as a result of a decision by the ED or, if so requested, by the Minister, MEC, or the Secretary. And then the other issue is that we may investigate is matters relating to systemic corruption involving the police. Right. Then I think a major change in how we operate is the reporting obligations and cooperation by members of SAPS and MPS and disciplinary recommendations. In the past, the criticism was that ICD is not able really to get the necessary support from the police and our recommendations are just left in file 13. Now, what is proposed in chapter 7, Honourable Chairperson, is that the station commander of a police station or any member of the SAPS or MPS must, immediately after becoming aware, notify the directorate of any matters that must be investigated by the directorate. So all those issues in clause 28, there should be a proper notification, and within 24 hours thereafter submit a written report to the directorate in the prescribed form and manner. So we will have an official tracking mechanism to ensure that those matters are reported to IPAT. And then those areas where we had very much problems in the past and currently, the members of the SAPS or MPS must provide the full cooperation to the directorate, including but not limited to the arrangement of an ID parade within 48 hours of the request made by the directorate, the availability of members for the taking of an affidavit or an affirmed declaration or to give evidence or produce any document in that member's possession or under his or her control which has a bearing on the matter being investigated, and any other information or documentation required for investigating purposes. I mean, we had the problems in Northwest last year and this year with ID parades and so on, and members giving their cooperation. So we believe this clause will really give us the necessary teeth. Then there's also onerous obligations now on the National Commissioner and the Provincial Commissioners. And it indicates the following. The National Commissioner or the appropriate Provincial Commissioner to whom recommendations regarding disciplinary matters were referred must, within 30 days of receipt thereof, initiate disciplinary proceedings in terms of the recommendations made by the directorate and inform the minister in writing and provide a copy thereof to the ED and the secretary. Quarterly submit a written report to the minister on the progress regarding disciplinary matters made in terms of paragraph A and provide a copy to the executive director. And then immediately on finalization of any disciplinary matter, refer to it by the directorate to inform the minister in writing of the outcome thereof and provide a copy thereof to the executive director and the secretary. Then finances and accountability, chapter 7. Chairperson, that is really very much in accordance with the PFMA and our reporting duties to the AG. There's really nothing new. Then also the question of the annual report, that's really very much also straightforward in terms of the current PFMA and reporting duties of departments. And then chapter 9, offences and penalties. If a person or private entity interferes, hinders or obstructs the executive director or a member of the directorate in the exercise of its duties, or if a member of the directorate discloses information in circumstances in which he or she knows could affect the activities or functions of the directorate or police officer fails to comply with section 29, that's now the reporting on issues in clause 28, and a member who fails to make a disclosure of interest and a person who pretends to be investigator, they will all be, if they're found guilty of an offence and liable on conviction to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 2 years. Then chapter 10 is really housekeeping matters. It deals with regulations. Currently, I think one of the lacunas in the current ICD is that we don't got regulations regulating our work. Our standing operation procedures is really internal document of the department. So the regulations that we envisage is to really look at all the issues, that the public will know exactly this is the way we're going to operate, that our investigators also know this is the process, that they can't be there can be no short circuit of the procedures. So it's envisaged in the regulations that it will focus on access and control of confidential information, the procedure to be followed when investigating matters, how do the members of the public report, how do we deal with complaints, how do we investigate criminal matters, and then also matters of the annual report, ID parades, what is the procedure that's going to be used by IPED, disciplinary matters, the manner and procedure to secure a crime scene. I mean, currently that's a big issue. We arrive at a crime scene and SAPS has been on the scene maybe previously. What is the role of the different agencies? So that's all issues we're going to regulate. Then the transitional arrangements, just indicating that the Act will have no effect on the validity of any investigation or prosecution conducted pending or under investigation by the ICD on or before the Act comes into effect. So all those matters will continue. Then there's just an indication on the Domestic Violence Act. Those duties will now go to the Secretariat of Police, and the repeal of certain laws. Chapter 10 in the current SAPS Act will be then repealed. That's that. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I tried in terms of your time limitations to really...
Thank you very much, Mr. Beckman. I earlier mentioned that the Free State delegation will join us later. They have arrived. Welcome, Honourable Members. Honourable Members, we can engage with the presentation. Honourable Members.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. I just want to check two things. The secretary in this case is the currently HOD of the department, or is separate from that. And the second thing is there going to be any ranking amongst the ICD, as it were, in the case of normal police personnel? Thank you.
We can respond.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you, Honourable Member, for the question. No, the referral to the Secretary in this bill is to the Secretary of Police, the National Secretary, also envisaged in the Secretariat Bill. In terms of IPED and the current ICD, the Executive Director is the head of department. In terms of the second part of your question, Honourable Member, with regard to rank, no, we fall under the Public Service Act. So it's civilian titles. For example, in our investigating branch, you will get a senior investigator, you will also get then a chief investigator, and then also assistant director investigations. Although we believe as we go forward, maybe there will be more positions added to that, but it's civilian ranks.
Thank you, Chair. The order page 9. Maybe if you could come again and elaborate. You were talking about something like maintaining independence and impartiality outside the institutions. Don't you have an element of trust approach, maybe with Leah and whatever? Can you get that in detail, please?
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Chairperson, no, my question, one I will ask other questions later. The independence of this body, where does the budget come from? From the police budget, or from who, or from where? And why is changing the name to police? What is it? Independent Police Directorate. Maybe
two questions for now.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. Maybe the first question with regard to independence and impartiality, and maybe the question of clustering. Maybe to indicate that we, the current ICD, is not part of the security cluster as such. Because I think the approach is we should be seen as independent. At the end of the day, we oversee the police in terms of their conduct. So for us to sit at national and provincial level in the same structures would not be correct. So currently we form part of the general administration cluster. So I think that is the proper approach, and I think that will also ensure that we do our work accordingly. So that is really the approach. With regard to Mr. Bloom's question in terms of the name, maybe just to indicate, that is really to indicate the focus change from an investigative-driven organization to one away from complaints-driven. Because it's quite interesting, even our provincial offices and national offices sometimes get, you know, complaints from people with social problems, you know, that really resides under other departments. So they think the independent complaints director has got to do with all complaints regarding government service or issues that really resides with the presidential hotline. So I think we want to really indicate to the community that we focus on serious crimes committed by members of SAPS and MPAs, and so it's really to give the right brand to where we are going in terms of that. Then the second part of your question,
Budget.
The budget, yeah. The ICD's got its own budget in terms of the parliamentary process as well as Treasury. I think we currently vote 24, next year it will be something, so we're not part of the police budget as such. So we as a department must be able to lobby for our own funds, and with assistance of the parliamentary committees, we believe that that will increase.
Any further engagement?
Honorable Chair, I heard in your presentation that you do realize the fact that South Africa has got over 60% rural areas. And I did not get exactly a sense of how then do you plan to get to these areas so that people would be aware. But there has got to be a very practical step going forward so that this is going to have a view from the communities, from the rural communities.
Jefferson, thank you very much.
I see on page 47, you are saying the directorate may investigate corruption involving the police. Why not will? Why may? It's a question of you may decide to investigate that thing. But if we say will, then we know that this unit will investigate police corruption. On page 20, Chairperson, the composition of the national office. You are saying that the last paragraph, if the certificate is withdrawn. I am concerned, and maybe you can help us. The labor law, what is the labor law saying? Because this person, the person must be discharged if they found any wrongdoing. Is there a contract to this person or not? What is the labor law saying in regard to that? Because this person is working, Nia found some things, can't be working anymore there. What is the legal law saying? Thanks.
Thank you. On one slide you are saying you referred the matters that falls outside the directorate to appropriate authority. How do you hold this appropriate authority accountable as whether that is being implemented or not, precisely because you are independent?
Mr. Dugna.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll maybe first start with the question of Mr. Bloom, because Mr. Natuli's question, I just want to go to our implementation plan in terms of the satellite offices. So as soon as we've got that on the table, we'll look at that. Maybe Mr. Bloom's question, the first one relates to a question that the directorate may investigate matters relating to systemic corruption. Now, Mr. Bloom, you will also see on page 46 that corruption matters within the police initiated by the executive director on his or her own or after receipt of a complaint from a member of the public or referred to the director by the minister and MEC or the secretary as the case may be. So that means all matters of corruption within the police we will be able to investigate, whether it's small or big. But really the idea with systemic corruption, for example, say for instance the Hillbrow police station, to give an example. Say for example there's a situation where foreigners are targeted, you know, in terms of their papers are not in accordance with the current prescripts and members of the police are involved. That, for instance, will be a matter where we will maybe decide that is a systemic corruption matter and we can investigate that. But the may is really to indicate the focus. Matters of systemic corruption will be large projects, you know, run by two or three provinces, for example. We will focus on certain police stations. We will also indicate, maybe I must give an example, also the minister last year indicated that we must investigate the whole question of people escape from police custody. So we did a real systemic nationwide investigation, you know, in all the provinces, we looked at all the police stations and then we submit a report. So that's really to say that we may also do that. I mean, that will not be ordinary run-of-the-mill issues like ordinary corruption that may appear, but that will be really to look at systemic issues, you know, that influences the police from a broader perspective. So that's really to say we may do that as well. Not that we're going to do that all the time, because, I mean, we must also look at our core business in terms of the serious crimes like death in police custody and matters like that. So we will have the capability to do that. Then, on page 20, Mr. Bloom referred, on the whole question of what would be the process and would there be a detrimental impact on the individual. I think there's two considerations. The one is it will not be up to the executive director, for instance, if he doesn't like an investigator to initiate that process. There will have to be a proper consultation with NEA, and they must really indicate in terms of hard evidence and an appropriate report that there is definitely a security problem. So it must be really based on merits. And that will be also be a condition of service. I mean, if you're not able to, you know, if your certificate is withdrawn, that is contrary to the condition of service. So that person will have them to be withdrawn. Are we ready with a slide there? Yeah, maybe I can start with addressing Honourable Natuli's question.
Mr. Beckman, just before you respond to Mr. Etul, the current SED had challenges with regard to resources, both human and financial. How will this and that impacted negatively on their capacity to execute their mandate? How will we make sure that this current IPD will not face similar challenges?
That's also an excellent question, Chairperson. I will just go to the slide. I think go to 4B in terms of the financial implications. Maybe, Chair, I'll come to that as we get to the slide. Maybe to start with Mr. Natuli's question. I think it's very important in terms of the envisaged IPED bill that the IPED has got the footprint around the country to do its job. Because, for example, in some of the provinces, if you're not within 200 or 300 kilometers of crime scene, it will be academic. For instance, in your province, we, in the last financial year, for example, we only attended about 60% of the scenes. And that means 40% of the scenes is not visited by ICD, so there's no independent investigation of those scenes. And I think there must be a commitment to the public and assurance that IPED will look at all those cases where people are killed as a result of police action or whether it's rape or whatever. We must be able to reach the scene. As a part of our implementation plan for looking at this bill, we've looked at the country and said, well, if you look at the country, what is the current occurrence of these crimes? What will we need? And maybe just to give a breakdown of the various provinces. In the Cape of the Western Cape, we don't have currently a satellite office. So that means, in terms of the Southern Cape, we can't be on the scene in time. So what we propose is that we will have a satellite office in George and then also in Worcester to cover the West Coast and those areas. In terms of the Northern Cape, we propose a satellite office in Springbok to ensure that we cover that part of the world. But again, it's a big province, but if you look at the occurrence of serious crimes, you know, that will be fine. In the case of Northwest, we propose Mr. Two. We've got currently one satellite office in Rustenburg, and we also propose Klerksdorp. So it's not an over-the-top proposal that we say there must be a lot of satellite offices, because we must also look at the three-year NTF cycle. In terms of Gauteng, we propose in Vereniging additional office. Then, Mr. Gamanyane, you must help me with the Free State. I think Kroonstad, Mr. Bloem.
My house is up.
Currently Bethlehem, and we've got currently satellite offices in Bethlehem, but there's also a proposal for Kroonstad. Then in the Eastern Cape, we really got a problem because we're currently based in Mthatha as well as in East London. But that means that the western part of the Eastern Cape is really not covered, and without a satellite office in the Southern Cape as well. So we propose that PE at least get an office, and also then Queenstown, to ensure that we cover the broader part. But that's a suggestion, and open for scrutiny by this committee and also by Treasury. Then in terms of the Limpopo province, we I think one additional.
Yeah.
One additional, and the venue?
Bella.
Then the KZN, very important, and there's huge, it's a very wide province, and we currently only have two offices, the office in Durban and then our satellite office in Empangeni. So there we propose Lundi and then also Kokstad, yeah. So the approach is really to ensure that we, broaden our scope, but also to comply with now the new implications of Clause 28. Because if we're not going to be able to attend those scenes, Clause 28 is really going to be academic. So it's going to be vital. Satellite offices will have to ensure that we do that. And then we also propose in our implementation plan that we strengthen the various provincial offices to have more investigators. Because especially the question of shootings where police is involved with, there's a lot of those cases. We are trying now to get the correct statistics from SAPS. But that will mean our members must be able to evaluate and then investigate. So we will also have to strengthen our current provincial offices. The chairperson then asked the bottom line, what will be the financial implication? Can we put it on, please? The 4B, the 4B, the 4A, the what's it? 4A. 4A. We will also make that document available to the committee. Maybe just to go through that. If we look at the current bill as it is, in additional staff, we, as indicated in the bill, provincial heads will be upgraded to chief directors. So we indicate in year one it will be about 10 million the implication, in year two 10 million, and also 10 million in the third year. Now currently we've got what they call case analysts and monitors. And because we're moving now to investigative mode, the proposal is that those staff members who all have been trained move from those posts as case analysts and monitors to that of investigators. And the financial implications is 5 in the first year, 7 in the second year, and then 7 also in the third year. Then the additional investigative teams in the 9 provincial offices, where we really prioritize the 4 big provinces, KZN, Gauteng, Eastern Cape and Western Cape, we propose, the implications will be 28, 29 and then 25 million. And then the cost of, very importantly, additional satellite offices chair that we've indicated, it will be 19 million in the first year, then 46 and then 57. So that's a major focus. If we really want to go to the rural areas, then that's where we want to spend the money. And then upgrading also the current satellite offices with more investigators. We propose that only in the third year, because we've got current capacity there, and that will be for about 14 million. then the appointment of communication staff, and Honourable Chairperson, currently we've got about, I think, 3 staff members in communication at national office, and that's that. So there's really a need in the provinces to have one dedicated person to do the job, and we only propose that in year 3. And the implication will be about 5.5. And then if Treasury has got money left, we also said maybe the provincial head should have at least a PAs, and we only propose that in the second year, 3.4, and then the third year, 2.4. And then also strengthening the administrative staff in the provincial offices, it's 1.5 and 2.2. And that is the province is going to go to their office. Then, Chairperson, in terms of the bill, there's now a lot of focus on the question of vetting and policing powers and liaison with NIA. And we've got currently only 2 staff members to deal with that, and we're proposing strengthening that. First year 1.7, 2.9, and then 4 in the third year. Then legal services will, in terms of the bill, become a fully-fledged unit. And then we might propose their spending in the second and third year of 1.8 and 3.2. Then strengthening communication at national office, 1.8, 1.5, and 1.6. And then also strengthening our ability to look at our administration. We also make in the second and third year proposals there. And then also training of investigators, because our investigators are currently not trained in terms of priority crime and rape and so forth. And also the question of corruption. It's also a specialized field, and we'll have to do a lot of training, and so we indicate the implication, and then the introduction of the new act and regulations. So, Chair, the bottom line is that what you asked for. In the first year will be 69,102 in the second and 136 in the third. Of course, that is the wish list, and I mean, Treasury, of course, will have a different view, and we will have to negotiate with them in terms of what is priorities, what is that we really need. So that is what we put forward in terms of that, to really speak to Clause 28.
May I just make follow-up? It's not yet approved by Treasury, this budget.
No, sir. This will be part of our E&E that we will submit in December to them, and then they must come back to us and say they will say no, or change them, change that.
And then after December, you link it to the performance of the department.
Of course, Chair. Remember, our new strategic plan, as well as our annual performance plan, must speak to our new mandate, and it must also speak to our targets. Our targets will be defined in terms of Clause 28. And so our strat plan will change significantly, because we've got additional things, and some of the issues will now be deleted from the strat plan. But that will definitely have to speak to the targets.
The proposal for additional offices, is it cast in stone, or because like for instance, if you talk about KwaZulu-Natal, you currently have 2, one in Mpangeni, and from Mpangeni to Lund it's about 120 kilometers, and yet you still have right to Tubatuba, Tlifu, Mkuzi, Tumanguzi, and that's a, it should be like many kilometers. And in Kokstad and Durban, if you go to Newcastle, I'm seeing a right arc. And that's where the criminal offenses is right in terms of police involvement in criminal activities. I don't know what informs your proposal. Yes, perhaps it would be an ideal area, but the additional 2, in my view, may actually not may defeat the purpose.
No, Chairperson, that is a valuable contribution. Again, as I said, it's a preliminary document that will be distributed to this committee. I mean, the public hearings is also coming up. So I think, you know, we will, at the end of the day, when we make our submission to Treasury in December, we will take note of all the input. So I want to also, you know, on this committee, with their wise counsel, we will also take that into consideration. So the current proposals of towns and so on, it's not cast in stone. I mean, it's part of the development of the bill as well. So we will also take wise counsel of the honourable members in that on the in that regard on board.
Honourable Nessie.
Oh, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm trying to listen. I'm sorry. I'm trying to listen here, but what arrests me? I can't move my mind. I mean, I'm in one place. Because I'm trying to think, we were in the Eastern Cape together, guys, members. And now I'm realizing we're talking about ICT. There were so many problems, and they couldn't do anything. They referred to all these areas as you are speaking to us now. Now I'm trying to think, you have problems, resources, human, and otherwise. Now you decide to change from ICT to iPad without even received the resources there in ICT. What I'm trying to get at, I'm not taking you back. I'm convinced that maybe you're planning something good, but what I'm not sure, how did you arrive to a point where you must change everything, come up with something new? When you come up with this something new, will that motivate those who are supposed to give you money to give you the resources? I'm interested to know, you have failed in ICD, obviously, because many cases that involve police couldn't be addressed because of not having staff and not having all these resources. How are you going to do this? How are you going to be sure now that these things will happen? This is what I can't get out of it in my head. Throughout, I've been thinking about this. I might be hearing other things, but I'm thinking, how are you going to do it now? What is it that is new? I can hear that we are talking about many things, but what is it that is new that will make you to get these resources? I'm not sure if I'm asking what I know, but the problem is that ICD, to me, has failed. Because many cases you couldn't, and the reason that you failed is because you didn't have resources. Now, how are you going to get them? What is it that will change? I mean, people who are supposed to give you these resources and make sure that you get them. Because you are coming up now with a very, very big organization than a tiny one that you had and which couldn't be resourced. I'm just trying to get out of that.
What is the current of the ICT now? You see, I'm seeing, you see, 136 there. It's a very big thing. It's a very big, what is the current budget? And I agree with what Honorable Nezi is saying. Because we must be realistic when we do things. You know, you were a member of parliament. You will come here next time. We are going to ask you these questions. You have put it here in front of us. Chairperson, let me also ask this thing of the vetting. I see that the you are saying you are having two currently. Now, who is doing the vetting? Is it NIA or your own people? Who is doing? I see that you have budgeted 4 million for what? It's now one point something, 2 point something, and the next, and 4 million. Who is doing the vetting now? And how many people, staff, current staff, went through the vetting system? And how many of them have failed?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it's absolutely essential questions. I think the Honourable Member here, I mean, he's made an important analysis. What is the reason or the motivation of moving from the current institution to the new institution? I think one important thing is to also look at the current environment. ICD was established in 1997 during the initial transitional phase. It's now more than 13 years after that. South African Police Service has grown in terms of numbers by 30,000, 40,000, 50,000. If you look at the new staff of SAPS. If you look at the trends of serious crimes that have occurred in the last few years, and also what is that kind of crimes? What comes to the fore is the issue of rape, corruption, all those new items in terms of section or clause 28. So in terms of the change of the environment and in terms of the behavior of the members, the oversight institution should also then respond to that change in behavior. Because we can't now sit back and say, well, we're still in 1997, we're only going to look at misconduct. We must really ensure, if you look at, say there's 900 people who dies as a result of police action, we should focus on that. If there's an increase in rape by police officers, we've got a duty as an oversight institution to redirect our focus. And really the motivation for Clause 28 is also to redirect our focus on the current behavior of members of SAPS. Maybe in 10 or 15 years' time that will be different. But on what is the issues? Corruption, shootings. So we must really focus to what's happening currently now. We can't have the historical view and say, well, we're going to focus on those issues. In terms of past success, I think, and that's what Chapter 7 is doing, in the past, what was the reason for the criticism of ICD? ICD really looked at four main issues. The one issue was deaths as a result of police custody. Now again, I think the ICD was relatively successful. There was a lot of convictions where members of SAPS were sentenced to prison, where they were kicked out of the force because of that. So I think there's a good track record. But the problem was, for instance, there was a duty on SAPS members to inform the ICD of those cases. But in a lot of cases, they didn't do it. And there was no sanctions. Now, in terms of this new Chapter 7, there will be indeed be huge sanctions. Then the second issue, DVA cases of domestic violence. In terms of reporting, we spend a lot of resources on that, but there wasn't really a good result, and I think it's good that it's moving now to the Secretariat, will be able to do it effectively. Then the matters of crime, criminal activity by members of SAPS. There, I think also the ICD had very good results, but remember, the ICD in the current environment is not the only institution investigating police officers for crime. SAPS also do that. So I think the fact that we are going to focus now on specific crimes will assist us. We're not going to be, a general dealer anymore. Those days are over, and I think that will also enable us to really be focusing on, you know, those crime priority crimes. Because ICD tried to be, you know, looking at everything, general dealer, and that doesn't work with limited resources. Then I think the major criticism against ICD in the past, and maybe the member that is correct, is got to do with the so-called Class 4 cases. That is misconduct by members of SAPS. And what happened in the past? In the last financial year, before I came to the organization, there was about 3,000 cases of those. Now, we will spend a lot of resources investigating those cases of misconduct, and then we will do recommendations. But again, there was no legal onus on SAPS to really react on those recommendations and implement those recommendations. Now we've got in Chapter 7 duty on the National Commissioner to report to the Minister, report on his action. So I think that was the major flaw, that the legal basis on which the ICD had to operate in terms of the limitations of Chapter 10 was of such a nature that there was no teeth. There was no real onus on SAPS to report. And a lot of the time and manpower and costs in terms of goods and services went into that. And now that's really removed from our mandate. So I think being more focused, being looking at the priority crimes that's currently, I think we will be able to focus on those issues. Whether we're going to be successful, I mean, time must tell. I mean, when we report to Parliament next year and over the next 2 to 3 years, that will really tell whether we're going to reach the targets. But I think it's going to be much more productive to focus on priority crimes than all issues. We can't do that. I mean, especially the clause for, or class 4 matters. It's really matters that falls within the jurisdiction of police management. And we can't manage the police. The police must manage themselves. And I think those duties that were all put on the table of ICD, I think wasn't the correct approach. And I think the new bill will definitely ensure that there is priority in terms of that. Then Mr. Bloom asked the question of vetting. Who does the vetting of ICD and IPAN? The current vetting is done by NIA. But Mr. Bloom is well informed. In the past, and I think we reported also to Parliament, that there's been really challenges with regarding getting that vetting done. In some cases, it took from 18 months to 2 years. But then again, it's also the members. They appointed the ICD. There's a certain form you must fill in. You must give references. and all of those things, and it didn't happen. I think that also led to a situation where, you know, a lot of our people are not vetted correctly. So the real, I think, change that the bill wants to bring is that there will now be an obligation for quite direct, you know, involvement and in negotiation with NIA to ensure that that is fast-tracked. Mr. Bloom, the numbers of people from our side, remember it's also an administrative process. Currently we've got only for the whole ICD, and we've got 9 provincial offices, 1 national office and 6 satellites. We've got only 2 persons who's looking at our security and vetting and so on. And I mean 2 persons is 1 security guard and then maybe an administrative official, who's been now upgraded to the level of deputy director. And we've got a lot of compliance in terms of the MIS, act, you know, prescripts. So for us to now go through this bill and ensure that people are vetted, they are vetted before they're appointed, we need people to ensure that those administrative duties are done, this proper liaison with NIA on an ongoing basis. So I think a lot of focus will also be on the new IPED to ensure that we, or the new IPED now, to ensure that we fast track those things. But the current situation is not ideal. I agree with your, you know, with your opinion there.
I would suggest if this bill is Section 76. It's Section 76, this bill, right? It's still going to be subject to provincial consultations.
Yes.
Maybe I would suggest at this level, because it's still going to come back to note the process and maybe follow the programs, so that we're getting informed from provincial mandate, so that we're able to come and make final inputs in terms of the 6-week cycle. Maybe one would suggest that we note it and move forward. I'm not sure whether I'm representing other honorable members.
Honorable Tony. Honorable Chair, I agree, I really concur with the honorable member. But my comment would be, I think it would be perhaps something different from ICD, for as long as there is not going to be fear to investigate, because in most cases you would find that most of the staff that were ICD investigators were junior in terms of ranks, which made it very difficult for them to investigate people with higher ranks. In the police force, you guys are very protocol sensitive. I mean that this investigation was polarized. Perhaps if this is a separate body, not managed by the police, it may have teeth. But I concur with the honourable member. Thanks.
Honourable Doe.
Chairperson, I'm back to the screen.
Yes.
Chairperson, this issue is a very serious issue. If we really want to get rid of corruption and everything in the police, then we must screen the new members and even the current members. But I agree with you that NIA will take ages to do that, what you think is correct and what we are saying. Why are you not using military intelligence? They are having a very effective system there of screening to help you to process this thing further and faster.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Are you reluctant to respond, Mr. Chipman?
No, sir. We take note, but I think, you know, if we, I think in terms of the Envisage Act and we up the game, I think our relationship with NIA, we will be able to, I think, ascertain, you know, or move to a situation, we will be able to, you know, effectively deal with the vetting issue.
Okay. I think as Honourable Member Mukhobi has suggested, there is already a program where permanent delegates will go and brief the provinces, and then we come back and check the mandates from the provinces. But let me take the opportunity to thank you for the presentation, and we hope that
We will come back to you if there are any issues that we will need to engage you with. Thank you very much. You are released. Jenny, you can come and address the committee.
Just before, as we go to provinces, how do we access support from technocrat who will be being presented? Because politicians might not be able to clarify certain things. I mean, in other areas we got frustrated. You go there, there's no department to assist permanent delegates. How do you access them? Sorry for taking a break.
No, Chairperson, I can give an undertaking. We will ensure that our provincial heads, and if they're not available, somebody from head office be available there. And we will also, leading up to those dates, also make additional documentation available to the members in terms of implementation plan that members are prepared.
Thank you very much. You can continue.
Thanks, Chair. before I start, I just wanted to thank the committee for inviting us to do this presentation. Also to say that we apologize that two of our senior management people, Mr. Zimo and Ms. Nzabande, are not able to join us in this presentation because of the short notice, and unfortunately. However, Mr. Killis, who's head of our policy and research, is present. So my name is Jenny Iris Kobosiani, for those of you, the secretary, please. And next to me is Mr. Killis, head of the policy and research unit. As I said, Mr. Zimo from our partnership unit and Ms. Nzimande from our monitoring and evaluation unit, because of the short notice, had other commitments, unfortunately, which they couldn't cancel. So apologies for that. And we also apologize for not distributing the bill earlier, but it's also, I think, because of the last minute, the presentation earlier, but I think it's because of the last minute presentation. What we're going to do today is to take you through some of the thinking behind the bill, as well as some of the key issues in the bill. We will circulate our implementation plan to the NCOP in the next day or so. But we will take you through the bill. Obviously, this is a 76 bill, so it will. It's in terms of going back to provinces. One of the things we wanted to highlight is that this bill comes out of quite extensive discussions and consultations with the provinces. We've had a series of meetings, both at the level at the executive level, where the minister has met with MECs through the MINMAC structure, but also where we have had meetings with the HODs. As I understand it, many of the HODs are themselves going to be very involved at a provincial level in the process, and some of them have already started the process at provincial level, which hopefully will assist yourselves when you get to the provinces. And in fact, we've got another workshop Friday and Saturday this week to begin to look at some of the alignment. I also want to say from the beginning that some of the processes around implementation have already begun. We're not necessarily, some of the things about strengthening the civilian secretariat for police doesn't have to wait for the legislation mandate to strengthen it. So things like aligning ourselves with the provinces in terms of our APPs, that process has already started, because we're saying that while the legislation will assist in that process, we don't require legislation to begin starting to implement some of those issues at a provincial level. In terms of the background to the bill itself speaks to Section 208 of the Constitution, which requires the Minister of Police to establish a police civilian secretariat, which operates directly under the authority and direction of the Minister. And I think what
can you repeat your introduction? There was something that caught my interest.
Which part of it?
just what you have been saying.
Okay. What I was saying is that as part of the process of drafting this bill, we have had extensive consultations at a provincial level. We've had consultations. There have been consultations both at the MINLEC level with MECs, where the minister has at two different MINLEC meetings discussed the bill and the processes behind the bill and the principles behind the provincial engagement. The second is that as the Civilian Secretariat for Police, we have also had extensive consultations with the HODs at a provincial level. We're aware that some of those HODs themselves have already started at their provincial level to brief their premiers, etc., on what the bill is saying. So we're hoping that that will assist your work when you get to the provincial level, that there are HODs and MECs at the provincial level who are aware of the bill and have already started working on the bill. That's the one thing. The second thing is not all the aspects of that are in this bill necessarily have to wait for the legislation to be passed before they start happening. If one looks at the question of cooperative governance, we don't necessarily need to wait till the bill is passed before we start aligning our APPs with the APPs of the provincial MEC's offices, and that process is already starting. So when we start talking about implementation, some of the processes we've already started working on, because they don't require, yes, the legislation is going to strengthen us to be able to do that, but we're not completely dependent on the legislation to begin to align our APPs.
I'm having a problem here. You see, before a legislation has been passed, people are already implementing things. On what? On what basis? I'm having a problem with that. So it's not necessary for us to sit. I mean, they can implement the things on their own if it is not necessary. Mm-hmm. That is what she said.
Can we allow her to continue? Can
I clarify just that point before I continue? What I'm saying to you is that there are certain things in the legislation which are going to strengthen our hands. However, they really should be existing in terms of cooperative governance. The legislation will strengthen that. But in terms of cooperative governance, for example, provinces and nationals should be cooperating anyway. Historically, they have not been cooperating. There's already a process underway to begin to get us to cooperate. What we're saying is that when we come to the legislation and if the legislation gets passed, that cooperation that is already being developed is going to make it easier for us to begin to implement that legislation. I'm not saying that we're implementing things that we're not allowed to implement in terms of legislation. That's the point on that issue. Then can I just carry on with the presentation? As I said, the bill speaks to Section 208 of the Constitution, and it requires the Minister of Peace to establish the Civilian Secretariat. One of the problems at the moment is that the Civilian Secretariat has been housed in the South African Police Service Act, which means it is a cost centre of the South African Police. So although it's supposed to report directly to the executive authority, which is the minister, by nature of the fact that it is a cost centre of the police, the accounting officer is the national commissioner. So you have a situation where the oversight body actually is reporting to the minister on the one hand, but is having to account to the national commissioner, General Gwele, over who it's supposed to have oversight. So that is one of the problems with addressing which in terms of Section 208, it's supposed to report directly and function under the authority of the minister. The minister has also indicated the need for to change in the new policing environment, and the secretariat should be made stronger in order to address the oversight functions of the secretariat. If one looks at the white paper for safety and security, one of the issues raised in the white paper is the need for the South African Police Service to be viewed as a trusted vehicle of law enforcement. In other democratic states, policy planning and monitoring is carried out by non-police civilian officials. The white paper points to comparative international experience in policing, highlighting that conflicts of interest, particularly between policy and monitoring and implementation functions, impact negatively on government's ability to redirect delivery to priority areas. So where you have an amalgamation between the same bodies doing oversight, policy development, monitoring and implementation, it can lead to problems, and that there needs to be a distinction of roles. If one looks at roles and responsibilities and one goes back to the Constitution, Minister of Peace is responsible for development, monitoring and implementation of policy and is accountable for all three of these dimensions. The role of the Minister, supported by the Secretariat, then is to set policy objectives and to measure the effectiveness and efficiency of the South African police in meeting their targets. So I think what we're talking about here is there's the operational aspect of SAPS, which is the domain of the National Commissioner, but then there's the oversight functions and the development of policy, which the Secretariat needs to do in conjunction and reporting directly to the Minister on. In reorganising the current functions in line with the above, systems of accountability are improved, managerial responsibility is clearly allocated. Such a system allows not only for an ability to match policy priorities with operational performances, but also ensures more effective monitoring of the police. In terms of implementing institutional reforms, one of the problems that was identified was that the Civilian Secretariat for Police has to some extent been a dysfunctional body for a number of years now. And two areas, and I think we presented this when we spoke to the Select Committee, is that there are two issues. The one is the need for institutional reform of the Secretariat to be able to capacitate it to play its role. And the other is to be able to look at the reorganization of the Secretariat so that, as was mentioned in the ICD presentation, you don't have legislation. Legislation on its own is not going to make this work. Legislation together with the reorganization of the Secretariat to give it the capacity to perform its role in terms of that legislation is required. So what has happened is a two-pronged process. One is the reorganization, and the second is the institutional reform. And in terms of the institutional reform, certain key principles have been followed. The Minister is responsible for the development, monitoring, and implementation of policy and is accountable for all three dimensions. The Police Civilian Secretariat needs to be capacitated and empowered then to perform the following functions: to provide the Minister with policy advice, to monitor and audit the police, to provide support services to the Minister, to mobilise role players, stakeholders and partners outside the department, and that should focus on their core business, which is to prevent, combat and investigate crime, maintain public order and manage all operational functions of the service. In terms of the Civilian Secretariat for Police Bill, the objects of the bill are to give effect to 208 of the Constitution by establishing the Civilian Secretariat to function directly under the Minister, to define the functions and powers of the Civilian Secretariat, to provide for the functions and powers of the Civilian Secretariat, to provide for the establishment, composition and functioning of the Ministerial Executive Committee as required by 206(8) of the Constitution. And just to pick up on this, although we've had a min-max structure functioning, there's a requirement that min-max should actually be established through legislation. And at the moment that doesn't exist. So what we have done is within this bill is speak directly to the constitutional requirement of that min-max structure needing to be legislated. To provide for the establishment, composition and functions of the Senior Management Forum, to provide for cooperation with the Independent Police Investigative Directorate and the South African Police Service, and to provide for intervention by the Secretariat into affairs of the provinces, and we'll come to discuss that a bit further. To exercise civilian oversight over the police service, to give strategic advice to the Minister in respect of developing and implementing policies, to provide administrative support services to the Minister, to liaise and communicate with stakeholders, to implement a partnership strategy to mobilise role players and stakeholders, to implement, promote and align the operations of the Secretariat in the national and provincial spheres of government, to coordinate the functions and powers of the Secretariat in the national and provincial spheres of government, to promote cooperation between the Secretariat, the Police Service and the Directorate, to provide guidance to community policing forum and associated structures. And then I'm going to ask Mr. Kinnis to just take us through the functions in the next section of
it. Thank you, Honourable Chief. The functions of the Secretariat in terms of the bill then would be to monitor the performance of the police service, and regularly assess the extent to which the police service has adequate policies and effective systems, and then also to recommend corrective measures in that respect. Also to monitor the utilization of the budget of the police service to ensure compliance with any policy directives or instructions of the minister. And then to monitor and evaluate compliance with the Domestic Violence Act. Chairperson, we must say that we've had extensive consultations with gender groupings around the monitoring of this particular act, because they were quite concerned given the fact that it's moving from the ICD to the Secretariat. And then also to make recommendations to the police service on disciplinary procedures and measures with regard to non-compliance with the Domestic Violence Act, particularly in terms of recommendations made by the by IPED. And then also to consider such recommendations, suggestions and requests concerning police and policing matters as it may receive from any particular source. Other functions would be to conduct or cause to be conducted any research as it may deem necessary, enter into either memorandum of understanding or agreements or both in consultation with the minister, with civilian oversight groups and with other parties, and engage such groups and parties to strengthen cooperation between the various role players. Also to advise the minister in the exercise of his or her powers and the performance of his or her functions. We also ought to provide the minister with regular reports with regard to the performance of the police service, the implementation of and compliance by the police service with policy directives issued or instructions made by the minister, and then assess and monitor the police service's ability to receive and deal with complaints against its own members. We have, in terms of the legislation, three core units. One is the policy and research unit, which I'm just touching on the core functions there, is to conduct research into any policing matter and report to the secretary thereon. And the secretary in turn obviously report to the minister. We have the monitoring and evaluation unit, which conduct quality assessments of the police service and monitor and evaluate its performance. This is our engine room. This is where most of our work is going to take place. And then we have a partnership unit to encourage national dialogue on safety and crime prevention, and then also to facilitate proactive and interventionist models in communities. We also intend, in terms of the legislation, to cooperate with the ICD and the SAPS in particular. The bill proposes that the ICD, SAPS and the Secretariat cooperate on policing oversight matters, and that the Secretariat will take over the monitoring of the domestic violence complaints from the ICD, IPED. The Secretariat will also have to make sure that SAPS implements any recommendation from IPED, and the manner in which this will happen requires joint planning between the Secretariat and IPED. It also proposes cooperation between SAPS and the Secretariat on these particular matters, Chair. Then there's a provision for provincial secretariats. Each province should establish provincial secretariats within 18 months after the Act comes into operation. Just for noting, Chair, some of the provinces have already established secretariats. Not all of them, but some of them do have secretariats for safety and security. And then also to align its plans and operations at the provincial sphere of government with the plans, policies and operations of the civilian secretariat, and then to integrate its strategies and systems at the provincial sphere of government with the strategies and systems of the civilian secretariat. What would be the functions of the provincial secretariat, Chair? Is to monitor and evaluate the implementation of policing policy in the province. And then secondly, to evaluate and monitor police conduct in the province. Three, to develop and evaluate safety models and monitoring tools to ensure alignment with the functions of the civilian secretariat, and also to assist the civilian secretariat in monitoring and evaluation projects as it may arise. And then to promote community police relations and establish and promote partnerships and manage the enhancement of community safety structures with the province. In conclusion, Chair, we just wish to point out that this new policing environment requires close cooperation between civilian oversight structures. Parliament, the Secretariat, IPED, civil society organizations must sharpen its focus when it comes to abuses by SAPS and Metro Police officers. The need for engagement between the Secretariat and IPED in particular in the management forum is necessary and urgent. It's only by working together can we shape a new culture of compliance with respect to for human rights. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Chair, just one last thing is that what this bill seeks to do is to also repeal the aspects that speak to the Secretariat in the South African Police Services Act, so that the Secretariat would have standalone legislation and would no longer be covered by the South African Police Services Act.
May other members can engage with the presentation. Honourable member.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. The housing of this secretariat is going to be at a departmental level, and obviously separate from the IP as well.
Thanks, Honourable Member. I think the housing of it will be, essentially the bill establishes the Secretariat as a designated department, so it would receive its budget from Parliament. We would obviously no longer just be housed within SAPS. However, we would be housed in the Ministry because of reporting directly to the Ministry, but we would have to pay that rental ourselves out of our own budget. At a provincial level, they will still be housed with the MEC's offices because they're not branches. What we have tried to do, we had two options when we looked at this bill. We could either go the route of the ICD, which is where we establish branches at a provincial level of the civilian secretariat, the national structure. However, that would be, or we could start working with the MEC's offices. When we looked at it, constitutionally, the MECs have a role of oversight, monitoring of the police. They also have a role in terms of developing partnerships. They don't have a role in terms of policy because it's a national competency. Now, if we went the route of branches, what we would be doing is we would be setting up two parallel government structures in the province. We'd have the MECs doing monitoring, and then we'd have our structure doing monitoring. So what we said is, can we not come up with a solution that works for the MECs and works for ourselves? And that was what we were then suggesting, is that the provincial secretariats, and if you look at the bill, will be part of the MEC's department at a provincial level. The accounting officer will be the HOD of that department. However, there will be lines of reporting, not just to the MEC, but also to ourselves. So there will be dual lines of reporting. It's been quite a complicated section of the bill, because we had to make sure that we weren't stepping on anybody's constitutional toes. And at the end of the day, what we had to come up with was a solution where we were really relying, a lot of this section of the bill relies on cooperative governance for it to succeed.
Thank you, Chair. May I get privileged on those issues that are implemented within cooperative governance? What are really these issues that are implemented, but at the same time will be sort of strengthened later by the bill when it becomes a legislation?
Some of the things that we've been looking at, for example, the sector has not had, within government, each sector is supposed to have their own, some sort of aligned APPs. Now, that has never happened within our sector of the civilian oversight together with the MEC's department. For the first time now, we're talking about aligning some of our APPs, and in fact the workshop this weekend is to develop a couple of APPs which would speak to national and all the different provinces. So all the different provinces would be working on similar APPs, which would then become part of what we call our sector APPs. We're involved in that process with Treasury, and that's one of the things that should have been happening in terms of cooperative governance. In terms of this legislation, for example, I think Mr. Killis referred to provinces not all having secretariats. When one looks at the provincial level of at the MEC level, many of them are responsible for a number of different functions, policing being only one. So it would be transport and police, for example. Not all provinces, although constitutionally the MEC has a responsibility to monitor to the police, not all MECs necessarily, some MECs focus more on transport and less on policing. Not all MECs allocate the same sort of resources to monitoring the police. with this bill coming into existence, each MEC will be required to establish a secretariat which focuses specifically on policing. And that secretariat will be responsible for monitoring, so they will have to have the resources to be able to allow the MEC to play the MEC's role in terms of the constitution of monitoring the police. They will also assist us at a national level with being able to get a national picture in terms of monitoring. So I think some of the cooperation, when I say it in terms of how we're beginning to work together, is happening. However, the legislation is going to ensure that provinces put the necessary resources into the aspects of the MEC's responsibilities in terms of policing and the establishment of provincial secretariats to do that. Just to say that at the moment, MECs can establish secretariats, they don't have to. So as Mr. Kinnis said, only two provinces have got secretariats. The other provinces have not necessarily got secretariats. And in some provinces, you only have one person doing monitoring of the whole policing in the province. In other provinces where they've got secretariats, you've got a whole unit.
They just make a follow-up. MEC can do that even before compliance with the constitution. Constitutional requirement of 280. Is it? Yeah, 280.
What we're saying is that at the moment, the position exists where an MEC should be, in terms of their responsibilities, monitoring the police. It's one of their responsibilities in terms of the constitution. However, when it comes to structures to be established to assist the MEC with monitoring the police, they can set up provincial secretariats. They don't have to. So at the moment, only two provinces. They can set up provincial secretariats in consultation with the minister. At the moment, only two provinces have used that can. This legislation is now going to require provinces to set up these secretariats, which will then mean that the MEC's role, constitutional responsibility of monitoring the police, is going to be able to be fulfilled effectively.
For the last time, sorry, Chair. They can what they don't have to.
What we're saying is, up till now, they can and they don't have to. This bill will now give them a requirement to establish it.
My take, Honourable Chair, is that I see HOD and the Secretary of Affairs playing one and the same role. Now, how are you going to draw the line in terms of the responsibilities?
No.
It is really necessary to have a secretariat after this question. We are having the HOD. Is it really necessary to have this structure?
You can respond.
I think the HODs often cover a lot more than just policing issues. They're dealing with a whole range of issues, and where policing lies on that agenda depends on the priorities of that particular moment in time. However, the HOD must be the accounting officer for the provincial secretariat, because if we were to take that provincial secretariat away and set it up as a branch, then we would be setting up a parallel structure with the MECs. So the reason why it's important to have provincial secretariats is precisely because I think the Honourable Member was out of the room when I mentioned that in some provinces, you may only have one person monitoring the police for the entire province in the HOD's office. Many of the MECs have a number of different functions, of which monitoring the police is just one. And the question is that the issue is that this provincial secretariat will basically make sure that each MEC is able to fulfill their constitutional responsibility of having an effective body which will report to them to ensure that they have oversight of the police at that provincial level. And I think in the discussions that we've had with the provinces, a lot of the HODs and the MECs are actually quite supportive of this, and they feel that this will be able to give them the basis to be able to go to Treasury and say, we need the resources. Now we're required to do this in terms of law. We need the resources to be able to do this.
Chairperson, the relationship, what is the relationship between the police and the secretary. That is the first one. Can you motivate why are you saying you are taking over the monitoring of domestic violence complaints from the ICG, this IPOC now? What is the reason of flagging only that section?
I think the question is covered, but maybe to unpack it to also link it with the police commissioners or the generals.
The relationship between the police and the secretariat at the moment, and what it will be like in the new bill, I'm going to speak to both. At the moment, the secretariat has a mandate to oversee the police. And that means that we are able to go, let me give you a concrete example. The ministers asked us to do a review of the central firearms registry and the functioning of firearms within the police. We don't have to ask permission from the police to go and look at what is going on in the central firearms registry. We have the authority to be able to do that. However, in terms of our budget at the moment, the minute the police don't like us overseeing them, they can actually just say, well, sorry, we're not giving you the budget, because our budget comes from the police. It's determined by the police. With this new legislation, we will be performing the same functions that we're performing now, except that we will no longer be financially dependent on the police. And therefore, in terms of financial reporting, we will report to the Minister in Parliament and not to the National Commissioner, because there's a bit of a contradiction to be overseeing something and then to be able to be receiving your budget from them. We're very clear that on operational issues, the Commissioner is the person that must issue all instructions. We do not issue instructions to the police. We report to the Minister, and the instructions would come from the Minister to the National Commissioner to the police. However, we do insist that the police cooperate with us in our oversight, etc., but we don't issue instructions to the police, and it's not our role to issue instructions to them except when it comes to requests for information. And as I say, the difference will be under the new bill is that we will no longer be financially dependent on the police, that we will now be accountable to the Minister and to Parliament for how we spend our money, and not to SAPS, because one of the easiest ways to undermine the oversight of yourselves is to say, sorry, we don't have money to give you to do that, and that will no longer be able to happen. As far as why we mention the DVA, I think one of the problems that happened in the past, and it related to the ICD having to do work that was not necessarily its core functions, was because the secretariat itself was dysfunctional in terms of doing proper monitoring and oversight of the police. Many of the functions of the secretariat started to be taken over by the ICD, because people would go to the ICD because the secretariat was not performing those functions effectively. And now with the ICD, we're saying the ICD's role is very much on investigations and playing a proper, being able to do in-depth, detailed investigations. The secretariat's role is to do broader monitoring. We may monitor, for example, a particular area, and there are policy issues that arise out of that. If we're looking at the Central Firearms Registry and the functioning of the Central Firearms Registry, there are very specific recommendations that we're making to the Minister, some of which are policy, some of which are operational, which the National Commissioner would have to attend to, etc. It's not a criminal investigation. It's more trying to get a system right. The reason why we've made, so what we've done in the legislation is say the ICD must be a strong investigative body. The secretariat must be a strong monitoring and oversight body. The only reason why we've made specific mention of the DVA as opposed to other areas is because there is a specific section in the DVA Act which requires the ICD to monitor the DVA. Now we're saying that we amending that section and we're placing that section under the secretariat. So that's why we make specific mention of the DVA.
No, sorry.
that here is the minister. He has got to execute. Within that execution, there is a line of implementation, and there is another line of overseeing the other one within one ministry. I'm not sure really that we are not wasting resources of the state. I just not for you, of course. It's just an expression, Brodie. Maybe we can take it as we come back from provinces. I know that you can't answer this to political, maybe when the minister is here, you know, but I'm worried that we are continuing what we said we must dream. You know, we are complaining of bloating civil service, but we are bloating, in my view. But I think maybe elsewhere we would get a way of getting this question, because it might not be your responsibility to really answer that.
To follow up what my colleague is saying, we as NCOP will look into this thing if it is really necessary for us to have a secretariat and this iPod, because according to me it's a duplication of the work they've been doing. So we must, you see, it's from the National Assembly, but we as the NCOP can really change it, and we must have our say here to say, because it's a duplication. I'm telling you, you see this domestic violence thing, the ICD is saying they are taking it away from the iPod. I can ask a question: why is children not involved? Why are they not monitoring children in custody of the police? But you see, it's a piecemeal thing to look for job and to create space. We must look into it. I'm saying when we deal with this bill, us as the NCOP must come up with
our own thing.
Do you want to comment?
No, I just wanted to comment on that. I think that if the NCOP decide that they must do away with the secretariat, they're going to have to make a constitutional amendment, because this speaks to the constitutional imperative of Section 208. Mm-hmm. So does ICD. So I think that if the Honourable Member Bloom is suggesting that, then they have to actually, and then they have to move away from the fact that you are then saying that there is no longer a need for any oversight in regard to the police. And all the comments that have been made over the last 6 or 8 months about, from the minister, from the government of the day, saying that while we are going to take a tough stance on crime, we are balancing that approach with making sure that we have strong accountability mechanisms in place. So then the Honourable Member from Cope will have to come with a constitutional amendment, because this speaks to the Constitution.
Before you respond,
I think yours is a technical answer. It's not to be political. I think you were wrong to even refer to Honorable Cove. Now we are invited.
Sorry, I apologize.
We wouldn't like that approach from you as a technocrat. And I would engage at that political level. It's not even a need for constitutional amendment, because we debate, pass, reject, whatever. That will be the train of the debate of the NCOP. It might not even call for constitutional amendment, but it may say this is how we amend, this is how we feel, without even touching the Constitution, because we are not in the mood of changing the Constitution. I'm sure that is an overall principle of the ruling party. You know? So I think they are.
Honorable Nese.
That's my comment would be, the members, what they are raising, I think is very critical. Very, very critical, because here we are dealing with Section 208 in both cases. So now when she talks about constitutional amendment, I don't think that comment was supposed even to come from her. And I think next time when you're dealing with people which are considering these things, you must always be very, very careful, I mean, the words that you use. What I hate is what you say, Honorable Cope.
Sorry, I didn't
trying
that.
To divide the way you look at things, because here we are members. Mm-hmm. Members dealing with these issues in order to make sure that we deliver what is supposed to be something to the community. This is not about us. But we want to make sure, because
there's a complaint. It has been there for the past years, since 94. The civil service is bloated. It's bloated, we must streamline. But every time you come, like now, the one that we have dealt with them, a small organization, a tiny organization, they are coming with a very big organization. But nothing has happened. Now, the very same thing. I mean, we're not looking at you as individuals that we are doing this thing for ourselves. But we are thinking, is this thing going to assist? Because it's not clear. It's not clear whether it's for assisting this government so that, because, hey, I can't understand, Honorable Chairperson. I'm trying to think. I'm not sure why today am I so slow in thinking. Because I can't mix these things and make them something that is going to assist in combating crime, even within the police, and make sure that we do the right thing. Because they are so complicated, referring to the very same sections, but trying to twist out some of the things that they could have been put together and be dealt with as a police. I'm just suggesting that let's note that what we've had here. Go back to the provinces, deliberate, and discuss these issues and apply our minds clearly. If we have to reject, we'll reject. If we have to accept, we'll accept, because it will be maybe through the engagement, we might see other things that we don't see. But as we speak now, really, really, I'm seeing a lot of duplication here. Not sure whether it's because maybe the words that are in these documents might be the same, whilst they don't mean the same thing. Maybe that's something which needs us to go through and read a lot. And that's what I would suggest. But honestly, I suspect there's a lot of duplication here.
Thank you, Chief. Maybe there is a misconception, and I just want to clarify that the ICD will still be doing the investigation on the DVA. The reason why it was thought that we need strong oversight with respect to the DVA, it relates to the fact that the police were not taking the ICD seriously when it made its recommendations. So what will happen in terms of this legislation is that the ICD will do the investigations of those particular cases. It will then draft a report and make recommendations, which will, a copy will go to the minister, a copy will go to the commissioner and ourselves. And our role would be to make sure that the police commissioner implements those recommendations. So I thought I'd just clarify that, Chair. Thanks.
No, I think we've noted, we are parliament, oversight is our duty. No one will be above us. And then don't take our work by creating another thing, another oversight thing, maybe of American definition somewhere. That is our duty, we'll do oversight, but we say, let's do it. Let's go to provinces and let's converse. And then we'll see. And then the NCOP has got its own constitutional obligations, and it would have to apply those. NA has got its own processes, you have to apply those. Motiva put in a point of emphasis because it's Section 76. And if it is the Section 76, it's the core function of the NCOP. And therefore, we must exist. Here's the question, says go and work, and we must not be told how we work. Because if we see something that is controversial, we must raise it and see how we strengthen that. Now, I believe that that's how we should close it.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member, and thank you very much, Jenny, for the presentations. We have the program to go and drill the provinces, and then we will come back and further engage on issues that have been raised from the provinces. Thank you very much.
The same thing, we must get support, technical support, as various delegates to provinces.
Yes.
Who will make presentations and all sorts of things.
Chair, if you could alert us to the dates, we will provide that. I mean, I also want to apologize for that comment. I really apologize. It wasn't okay. We will make people available, but also be aware that the provincial departments also have been engaged extensively around the bill. So if you give us the dates, we would definitely make people available, but you can also make use of the provincial departments as well as technical support.
I think just be compatible, because my experience that mostly at provincial level, they will always revert national.
Sure.
No, it's not us national. And we found that we are stuck, and 6 week cycle is too short.
Sure.
Provincial legislatures are complaining about that. Yeah.
Honourable members, we don't form a quorum. We will defer the next item to the following meeting, that of adopting the minute. And then this brings us to the end of the meeting. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you very much.
Let me defer. You see. But no, yes, I wanted to say something of ESPO.
How are you?